So maybe we don't commit shirk openly, but it's because of this evil that is slowly seeping into the houses and our homes that automatically we are doing it in a way that we don't even know of. You know, just to mention to you something, by the way, one day when I was in madrasa, my ustad, I can clearly remember, he told us a time will come where a person will be the closest point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he'll have music emanating from his body. If 30 or 20 years ago, if it was said to us, we would never have believed it. He then told us also that a time will come when the people will stand up to pray before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in front of them will be kafirs. We would never have believed it. Yet today, the very same thing happens. When a person is the closest point to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sajda, automatically the cell phone rings, and that to what tune? Music comes out from the body. When we stand up for salah, in order to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we say Allahu Akbar, automatically in front of us we can see the big name Ronaldo. The brother in front got his soccer t-shirt on. So my respected elders and brothers, remember, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَيُّشْرَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never forgive a person who commits shirk. And unfortunately, we are the ones that are doing it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and give us hidayah. Moving on, the next person that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, and he says, wala ila mushahin, that person who harbors malice and jealousy for his next Muslim brother. In fact, the hadith, the riwayat of Tanbih al-Ghafirin, Faqih Abu Laysa al-Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi, brings a narration and he says, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention and says, inna al-ghilla wal-hasad ya'kulani al-hasanat kama ta'kulu an-nar al-hatab. That jealousy and hatred consumes and eats away at good deeds, just like how fire eats away at wood. Today, my respected elders and brothers, each and every one of us are suffering with this very same disease. We harbor malice to our next Muslim brother. We are jealous of him. If he has a car of this nature, I must have a car much better than him. If he has 5 shops, I must have 10 shops. That's how we are. We may bump shoulders with one another in the corporate world. We will stand next to each other in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this musalla. But immediately we go out, we will find ways to run him down. We all know the incident of Adam, our father Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and that of Iblis, Shaitan, the cursed person. We know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, in some narration it is stated that first Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was just an ordinary mold. No soul, no ruh was blown into him. All the creatures and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannat came up to that time and they were looking at this creature, wondering in amazement, what type of a person is this? Who is this? What type of a creature it is? Also, it is narrated that Iblis, Shaitan, was an alim, the most knowledgeable from the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, it is also stated that there isn't a single place on the face of this earth that Shaitan did not make sajda for Allah. So he himself was a great alim. He himself was a great abid. He worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what was that one thing? What was that one thing that led Shaitan away to become such that he became cursed right up till the day of Qiyamah? Simple. It was his jealousy and hatred for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. This same malady, this same sickness is found in the heart of every Muslim. In fact, our spiritual fathers make mention and say that the minute a person says, I do not have pride or I do not have jealousy for so and so, already and automatically is a sign that the person does have. And according to our spiritual fathers, the remedy for such a sickness is the person must continuously make dua for that person who has jealousy for. My respected elders and brothers, let us not look around, let us introspect. Let us look at within ourselves. The person whom we hate the most, do we have the guts to make dua that, oh Allah, this is the person I'm jealous of. Ya Allah, I own a business, he also owns a business. But Ya Allah, today, you make him better than me. Ya Allah, you elevate his status. You let me always be at the bottom. Let him always be on top. My respected elders and brothers, does any one of us have the guts to do that? So this is the real answer. This is the malice, this is the jealousy that each and every one of us has. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to abstain from this and ask for forgiveness from each and every one of us. The next person, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention and says, wala ila qati'ir rahmi, that person who severs ties with his Muslim brother. There was once a person who came up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, O Nabi of Allah, akhbirni bi'amalin يُبَاعِدُنِي مِنَ النَّارِ وَيُقَرِّبُنِي مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform me of such an action that will safeguard me from the pits of Jahannam and bring me within the precincts of Jannat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then makes mention and gives him a whole list of things. And from amongst them was to join ties with a Muslim brother. My respected elders and brothers, this too is another sickness. Today, unfortunately, if the sisters are fighting, the brother-in-laws are also arguing. If the mother is fighting with the father, the children are also fighting. Throughout the entire Muslim world, let alone unity of this entire Muslim ummah, today there is no unity in our own families. The riwayat of Muslim Sharif is quite clear. It is mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, written on the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is mentioned and written there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join ties with that person who joins ties with his next Muslim brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distance himself from that person who distanced himself from his next Muslim brother. إِنَّ الرَّحْمَةَ لَا تَنْزِلُ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ فِيهِمْ قَاطِعُ الرَّحْمِ The hadith is quite clear that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not descend, will not come down on any nation or any town or any city which has a person who breaks ties with his next Muslim brother. So my respected elders and brothers, we can read our salah 5 times a day, 10 times a day. We can keep the entire year full of fast, give all our money in the pleasure of Allah, do whatever we want just so that we can get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we break off ties with our Muslim brother, then none of this will have any bearings in the hereafter. And to make things much more easier for us tonight, I'm sure we all know of the Panchat line or the Barkat line. You know, Telkom gives you that 7 to 7. We have the right to phone, it's free and this and that. So my respected elders and brothers, even then too, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for each and every one of us. So there can be no excuse from anyone to say, no, it's going to cost me to phone my Muslim brother somewhere in Cape Town. Let's make that call. Let's take this opportunity to call that Muslim brother. We can have time to make panchat every other time. We'll talk about this one and that one. We'll make business deals over that, time. But let us lift up that phone. Let us forgive one another. Let us not look at who is right and who is wrong. No, I was always right and you were always wrong, but nevertheless, I want to forgive you. No, let's not be like that. Let us take out this opportunity to forgive one another, to hug one another. Brothers that are fighting with sisters, sisters that are fighting with fathers, fathers that are fighting with mothers. Let it all stop today, my respected elders and brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. The next person that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, who will be deprived of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wala ila musbil, that person who keeps his pants below his ankles. Now look at this hadith, my respected elders and brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the most worst of crimes or sins. A mushrik, a person who breaks off ties, a person who drinks wine, a person who disobeys his parents. And all of a sudden Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something concerning libas, clothing. Today, yet again we are the slaves of fashion. Everything is upside down. Today the woman will wear the pants above the ankles and the men will wear the pants below the ankles. Wallah, if tomorrow, if the catwalks of fashion and of France and Paris and all those other countries have to come out with such designer wear that it compels every person now that you must wear your pants above your ankle, automatically we'll do it. Yet our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded the ummah, telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive a person who keeps his pants below his ankles. And to give you an example of how we become slaves of fashion is the new hairstyle that comes out. It's called the mohawk. I prefer to call it the rooster haircut. You know, you see the children today, everything is spiked up over here and all this is cut. But did you know the history of this hairstyle, my respected elders and brothers? You see, before America was taken over by the so-called white man, there were Indians that were living there. And as soon as he landed onto the shore and they saw that these people walk around with cloths tying around their waist, they eat off the land, they called them savages. Yet these same Indians had this type of hairstyle. So what they called savages in those days, today it's a fashion. So this is how we become slaves of fashion. Wallah, just to reiterate, if those same places or houses of fashion have to come back and say now we must wear pants above the ankles, every male must wear pants above the ankle, the female was wearing below the ankle, then we'll quickly do it. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions and he says that which is below the ankle is in Jahannam. Simple, clear-cut hadith. That which is below the ankle is in Jahannam. My respected elders and brothers, how many of us take heed of it? No, you know what, I can't wear my pants below my ankles because I'm working in a place where there's non-Muslims and they look at us differently. We are better. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted you and I the gift of Iman, which makes us superior, but doesn't mean that we have the right to look down upon them, no. But at the same time, we must never feel shy of who or what our identity is. Today we want to worry about our identity. No, I'm not an Indian, I'm a South African. But we forgot about the identity of our Iman. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq also to understand this. The next person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention, وَلَا مُدْمِنُ خَمْرٍ, that person who consumes alcohol. It is mentioned in a hadith that on the day of Qiyamah, that person who drinks alcohol will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his face entirely blackened, his tongue by the chest, saliva drooling from his mouth, such a smell that this person's body will emanate, that every single person around him will move away. And in this condition, he'll stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu makes mention and he says that wine is Ummul Khabith, it's the worst, it's the mother of all sins. He then narrates and he says that once there was a person who was an abid, who was a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And unfortunately, a day came where shaitan got hold of him in a form of a woman. This lady called him inside, attracted him into the house, locked the door, and she told him, you have a choice. Either you drink this wine, or you commit zina with me, or you kill this child. This person says, I cannot commit zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had forbidden it. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا, I can't even go near it. And how can I slay a small child, an innocent child? So he decided to take the lesser of the evil. And he asked for wine.